بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It is evident that our gathering here is for a certain motive. And if anybody were asked what is the purpose, he will say you that it is that I may also gain some blessings. Where Allah Ta'ala's mercies, His Raham, His Karam is descending in abundance, we would also wish that some part of it descend upon us. So this is the common line answer that you will get from any person that is asked, what's brought you? What's brought you in the masjid? What's brought you at this time, at this late hour of the night? In this Asian time, when things become so complicated, challenges become so great, there must be some starting point, some beginning point where we can start off this path, start off, gain something, gain some understanding, gain some realization, and allow every coming day to be better than the past day. So there must be a starting point. So what will be the ideal starting point for people like us, caught up in so much of situations, so many trials, challenges all around? So what will be the ideal? When I see what's going on, then I come to one conclusion, is a simple conclusion. Myself, I don't like to strive too much and struggle too hard. And I suppose most of us are the same, that we want something moderate, something that we can manage, something we can maintain, something we can sustain and we can maintain. It mustn't be that we have a certain hike and we go very high for 1-2 days or for the month of Ramadan, and after the month of Ramadan then we are back to square one. So we go and we go on a consistent path. Every coming day is bringing us closer to our real end. We're looking forward to that day. It mustn't be like the Jews. The Jews had claimed that they are the friends of Allah Ta'ala. نَحْنُ أَبْنَاءُ اللَّهِ وَأَحِبَّاهُ. That's what they claimed. So Allah Pak says that فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ. We challenge you. If you long for death, if you claim to be the friend of Allah Ta'ala, إِن كُنْتُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ. If you claim that you are the friends of Allah Ta'ala, then we challenge you. You have got a friend, for example, boyfriend or a girlfriend, whatever. Then what is your desire? You want to meet up with the friend, right? That's the ardent desire of a lover. If he loves someone, then he wants to meet. It can't be that I just claim love and I don't meet at all. See? Your friend is living in the next country or the next town. He says, "No, I love you. But you don't meet the friend. What will you say? That the love is not true. So if you do love Allah Ta'ala, then you'll want to meet him. And obviously the road to Allah Ta'ala, the road to meeting Allah Ta'ala is death. Without death, you can't go and meet Allah Ta'ala. You have to pass that bridge in order to go and meet Allah Ta'ala. So these people have claimed they do love Allah Ta'ala. And they are the favorite of Allah Ta'ala. Not only love Allah Ta'ala, but they also claim that they are the favorite. So Allah Ta'ala shows how false their claims are, that if you are true for a single moment, and فَتَمَنَّوُ الْمَوْتِ, then this desire for death, that's all. That's all. Just say that we desire death. Now, with all the enmity, the dislike, the aversion, the hatred for Islam, for whatever they were worth, they could never say that we desire death. For a single moment, they couldn't say that. If you are challenged on your faith, you know, and say if your faith is true, you are true to your faith, and you love your faith, then say that you love your faith. Every Muslim will pick up his hands and I'll say, I love my faith. I'll die for my faith. Here, Allah challenges them and he says, وَلَنْ يَتَمَنَّهُ. They'll never ever say that we do desire death. بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ, because they know what they have sent forth. They know that for them, it's just problems that are awaiting them. It is just problems that are ahead of them. Nothing but problems and difficulties. So they will never do that. So, when we talk of a path that is consistent, it must be something that is easy, something manageable, something that we can start off. We can start off from this day, and it can continue even after the month of Ramadan. So the simple thing is, take care of the tongue and take care of the eye. This is the great challenge of this day. The other difficulties or other acts of ibadat, inshallah, we will do one day. But let's have a starting point. And the starting point is the tongue and the eye. Most of the mistakes, most of the wrongs, most of the problems that we encounter is either because of the eye or because of the tongue. Tongue, we don't think before we speak. Whatever comes to the mind, we just let go, just let drive. Either to impress someone, either to hurt someone, either to strike a point. But whatever comes to the mind, we just want to let it go. And we don't realize, we don't analyze, we don't understand what will be the repercussion, what will be the consequence. Should I say these things? Shouldn't I say it? So we don't analyze it, we don't think about it, and we will just say it. I often say that not every information is useful for every person. Some information is useful, some information is not useful, and some information, most people don't know how to handle that information. They may be intelligent otherwise, but they don't know how to handle information. So that piece of information is not good for them. In one town, there was one Imam Sahib, one Hafiz Sahib was appointed as the Imam. And he happened to be an illegitimate, but he was the most capable person to lead the congregation because he was Hafiz and reading the Quran Sharif with Tajweed, etc. He knew more or less, he knew the laws of Imamat, etc. So he was the most eligible person for the position. So for a number of years he was doing the job and doing it correctly. Just two or three people knew about it, that he's an illegitimate. He doesn't have parents that came from, that he doesn't have proper parents. So these two or three people that knew about it, old people, elder people, people with experience, they concealed the information, they did not express it, they did not expose it. In order to keep the respect and the honor of the Imam Sahib, they didn't publicize this. Anyway, the fourth person got to know about this, that this Imam Sahib is a product of an illegitimate marriage. Illegitimate. Three people knew it, but they knew how to conceal the news, they just brushed it aside, nobody would discuss it. Now the fourth person came to know about it. So immediately when he came to know about it, he sent up a questioner to some Darul Ifta, some fatwa jamiat, how you have a fatwa department, jamiat, etc. So he sent it there. What do the Muftiyan Kiram have to say about an Imam who is a Hafiz, who recites with Tajweed, etc.? He's doing a good job, but he is a product of an illegitimate marriage. So what is the position of our namaz? When he is like this, then what is the position of our namaz? Many a times it happens that we are more worried about the Imam Sahib than ourselves. I don't say the Imam Sahib mustn't be a sinner, but like we are concerned about the Imam Sahib, we need to be concerned about ourselves as well. So now the Imam Sahib's wife, she doesn't dress up rightly. But your wife, does she dress up correctly? So we are too concerned about the Imam Sahib's wife. She's not dressing up correctly. She's not doing this. His son is not behaving correctly. But is your son behaving correctly? Is your wife doing things correctly? So overall, every town will have such an Imam that suits them. If you are very committed, then you'll have an Imam that is committed. But you are half committed, then you'll have an Imam that is also half committed. Deysa ruh, veysa farishte. So anyway, this fourth person came to Noah and he sent the question. So answer came now that Imam, he is the most suitable candidate. Let him remain upon his position. Don't ever replace him, because you will not find some replacement as good as this person here. So now this person got the answer and he photoed that answer, 1,000 copies, and he passed it right the whole town. You see, from now, you don't pick out on this Imam. Don't pick out on the Imam. The Imam Sahib's namaz is valid. Now, what will you say? That he did a wonderful piece of job. His intention must have been right, that he may have understood now, or the Imam Sahib is illegitimate. And maybe someone else also gets to know about it. So before they get to know about it, let me just publicize it in the whole town that his imamat is right, his performing namaz is right. There's no problem with his imamat. Now what I wish to share with you today is, you see that information. Now we feel, what's wrong in acquiring information or sharing information, dissemination of information? So everybody can't digest it. They don't know how to digest that information. Two, three people, they were elderly, they were senior, they were experienced, and they knew how to control it. They just hushed the thing, finished, end of the story. Tomorrow, you think to yourself, if by accident you committed something like that, right, and one child was born, right, and then that becomes public news. Hey, you know this child here, you know this person here, he's so-and-so's illegitimate child. How will you feel? How would you feel? You will also feel embarrassed. You will also would like that your respect and your integrity must be guarded. So like you would like your respect and integrity to be guarded, other people also have got respect. They have also got honor. They may have made some mistake in their childhood. And Allah Ta'ala likes this when you conceal someone else. You wish to conceal someone else's fault. On the day of Qiyamah, what will happen is Allah Ta'ala will call you and he will surround you. He will cordon you off. So nobody is watching you. After he's cordoned you off, they say, alright, you see, you did this wrong on this day, in this place, this is the wrong that you had committed. Now, everything is before you, so you can't deny it. It's like on the day of Qiyamah, it will be like a video clip that is playing. So you can see now, okay, so and so had committed this wrong on this day, on this occasion, at this place, with this person. Can you deny it? When it's video played right before you, وَوَجَدُوا مَا أَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا, it's before you, it's playing before you. Can you deny that? You can't deny that. It's before you, it's playing out right before you. So are you going to deny that? Can't deny it. So Allah Ba'u say, you did this on this day and this time with this person, this was the wrong that you had committed. When it's so evident, so clear, he'll have no other choice but to say, Allah Ta'ala, yes, I did commit that wrong. But he'll be afraid within himself what's going to happen. So Allah Ta'ala says, alright, in this world, I concealed your fault. You used to conceal people's mistakes. You hid their faults. Today, I will hide your faults. Man satara an muslimin, satara Allahu anhu yawm al-qiyamati. You had hid and you had concealed other people's faults. So today, I will conceal your fault as well. Right? And not only will I conceal your fault, but you see this wrong that you did. You concealed other people's faults. You had also mistakes, but we concealed your mistake. And for the mistake that you had done, for this mistake that you have done, we have replaced it with a good deed. There's one wrong that you did. For that one wrong deed, we gave you a Hajj sawab. Another wrong deed you did, we gave you Umrah sawab. Right? So he'll see the sawab. Hey, one deed is being changed. Everything is just changed. Allah Pak is Qadir. He has the power to do it. Right? Like you see manure, right? Manure. That thing is applied to a tree. Right? Now, that manure picks up the quality of the fruit. Don't you see? That the manure is applied to a tree and the quality of the fruit is picked up. Okay? So, it was total dirt, filth, smelling. But then, with the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, the same thing picks up the quality. Now it becomes fragrance. It becomes beautiful, it becomes sweet. There's beautiful texture. So that's the Qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, that was which was rotten. Allah Ta'ala transformed the whole thing into something excellent. So by the same token, this deed of ours are rotten, smelling, full of stench. Allah Ta'ala wants to bring about a transformation. Nobody can stop him. He will do it. How he wants to do it, he'll do it. So the same, the sin of yours, you hid someone else's mistake. You didn't even talk about it. Not straight, not indirectly, not directly, whichever way. You didn't insinuate, you didn't allude, you didn't embarrass anybody. You tried your best to hide away the mistake. So Allah Ta'ala will change that mistake to a good deed. The wrong that you have done, Allah will replace the wrong with a good deed. Now, when you see things happening like this now, such a big deed, this called mistake I made here, and for that I got one Hajj sawab. For this I got Hajj, I got Umrah sawab. For this I got this type of sawab. So then that man will say, Allah Ta'ala, I got other deeds also. Other wrongs also I've got. You're only talking about this one wrong, I got 100 other wrongs. See, when Allah wants to bless, he can bless. Who can stop Allah? So one simple way that we can get our things right with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is look after the tongue, look after the eyes. Don't embarrass, don't disgrace, don't hurt, don't inconvenience. And what we need to understand is we need to start all these things in the home. Many of us are very good when we're outside the house. People with friends, we are very good. But the starting point is the home. The home is like the heart. If the whole body is right but the heart is wrong, then really that whole body is of no good. So the starting point must be the heart, and the heart is the home. The home is the heart. You start off with the home. Your wife, your children, your immediate siblings, how your parents, etc. You start off with that. Be good with them. It's pointless you are now trying to be good with everybody else, and then the people that have sacrificed, worked for you all their lives, and you disregard them. You got all the time for the friends, you got all the time for extended people, but the immediate people, you don't have any time for them, then really you don't understand things correctly. So those that are immediate, your immediate circle, show them some love, show them some muhabbat. You go to a supermarket, to a mall, and then there's a cashier, and then you'll smirk, you'll smile, give her good words, compliment her, and then give her 10 rand as a tip. Now, how much of khidmat your wife does for you? Your wife, how much of khidmat does she do for you? And did you compliment her? Did you praise her? Did you give her something as a token of appreciation? This stupid thing there in the shop, she's getting paid for that. She's not doing it for mahala. She's getting paid for that. Now, just for that smirk, you want to give her a smile, throw her a smile and give her 10 rands. She must just give you a smile. For that smile, you pay 10 rands. Your wife is doing that all the time. Not only smiling, she's working for you day and night, she's slogging for you. Did you ever think of doing that? Who doesn't deserve it, you're doing that to her. And who deserves that appreciation, that love, that hug, whatever, you're not doing anything for her. So, where's our understanding gone? So these two sins, these two wrongs, one is the tongue and one is the eye. And where we start off is, we start off from the home, start off from the immediate. If we have to go home tonight, then we speak to our family, no, I have wronged. And may Allah give me tawfiq. I've been doing all wrong things. You don't tell her now that you went to the supermarket and you've been smoking at the girls there. No, don't tell her about that. Now I say this because men act stupidly, really. I'm saying this. You know, I betrayed my wife. I need to go and show her that I was dishonest. From now I'm going to be honest. Now, you don't have to do all these things. That is with Allah Ta'ala. Between you and Allah Ta'ala, you're going to rectify that. And cry to Allah Ta'ala that you won't do it again. You don't have to show that honesty to your wife. So your wife says, no, I never did this. But I heard about this here. I'll never do it again. You don't go and tell her that I did all these things here. So that relationship, that good harmonious relationship, just continue with that. Don't go and reveal all your weaknesses to your wife. Now she will suspect you. She won't have any confidence and respect for you in the future. This man here, he betrayed me. So you don't tell her about this thing here. But you cry to Allah that no, she's been so good with me. From today I'll be good. I'll work out. I mean, there must be a hadith. There must be a reason why Rasulullah said, the best of you is the one that is best with his household. The best of you is the one that is the best with his household. So I won't look at your goodness when you are good with me or good with your friends. But how are you with your household? Are you good with them? Because Nabi Sallallahu is saying that that is the criteria. Your household, your wife, your children, your parents. These are your immediate people. The best of you is the best with his household. How you conduct yourself, how you relate yourself. Many times people complain, oh, the wife is like this, and she's doing like this, and she's doing like this. So, by that, nothing new. It is expected of the wife to do something short. She is 2 cents short. So, if she's going to do anything, it will be short. It's not going to be perfect. For you to expect her to do things perfectly, that's stupidity. When she is short, she will do things short. Like a small little child, 3-4 year old child, if he is doing some service to you, then he's going to do something wrong. You know, in India they have that fan, you know, hand fan they have. So you ask the child 5 years of age to fan you a little bit with a hand fan. So sometimes he's going to knock your head also, right? But you say, mashallah, shabash, shabash, you'll congratulate him, you'll compliment him. Although he's hurting you. He's hurting you, but you gave him shabash, you gave him a compliment, right? So it's expected of the child to behave like that because of his age. So it's expected of the woman to be deficient in whatever she's doing. Some day or the other, or every day, she must be doing something deficient. Today this is not right, tomorrow that is not right. Every day there'll be something wrong in her. So you take her in that stride, inshallah, you won't go wrong. You'll go wrong if you say, you know, why is she not doing this like this? She must act perfectly. So that's an actress, you know. Actress's job is to do everything perfectly. That's just an act. It's not real. You know, where we go wrong is we see that actresses in the film, in videos, in novels and all, we see them acting there. So they're acting so perfectly. Why can't my wife act perfect? That's just an act. It wasn't real. It was just an act. And your wife is real. Right? So we resolve today that from today, at least our immediate people that are immediately connected to us in our domestic life, in our business life, those that are immediate around us, at least we'll show love, compassion, consideration, respect for their feelings, for their respect, for whatever, but we'll show some type of compassion and love to them. We'll try and see that they have the better in anything and everything. We'll see that they will have the better. So there must be a starting point, and the starting point, let it be the tongue and the eyes. We'll guard this here. And the hadith also says, you look after this, then Jannah is guaranteed for you. There's two things. You guarantee this, and Jannah is guaranteed for you. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Make zikr na.